All right. Welcome, everyone, to another in our series of the Stronger Man Teleseminar Series. Tonight, on our call, we have Jeff Martone. Now, I don't know if you know this, Jeff, but you're kind of responsible for something that I really got into a few years back when I first went through the RKC. I think that was 2005. You were the group leader, and just watching you doing the kettlebell juggling really inspired me, and I've kind of taking it pretty far since then, so I just have to say thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That's funny. A lot of fun, huh?
Yes, it is. I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about that, and we have a wide range of topics to cover. Is there anything you'd like to add about Jeff to start off with, Bud?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things I could say about Jeff. Actually, Jeff is a very self-effacing, quiet kind of a fellow, okay? Like, Jeff won't tell you all the crazy stuff Jeff's done until you, like, sitting around dinner talking to you, and then you'll be like, oh, yeah, I climbed Mount Everest, and I forgot to tell you that. I did that last week, and that kind of thing. So Jeff just doesn't tell you all the cool stuff that he's done. But for those of you who may or may not know, Jeff's background is in training law enforcement and military, teaching hand-to-hand tactics, teaching gun tactics, as well as teaching physical conditioning. He's one of the first certified kettlebell instructors in America. He's actually the CrossFit area instructor for kettlebells right now. Did something like, I think, told me 40 certifications last year.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah, something like that. So all over the country teaching people all about kettlebells. He's probably the first guy to really bring kettlebell juggling back after the kettlebells kind of came back in. You know, like I said, there's so many things you could say about him. His original training was in some kung fu and a lot of different, all kinds of physical combat as well as all kinds of physical training all over the country. So I don't want to take up all night because I could take up all night telling you all the crazy stuff he's done. Suffice it to say, when Jeff talks about kettlebells, especially juggling and training for military law enforcement and fitness and that kind of thing, you should really be listening. So we'll go ahead and start with the questions, man.
Yeah, I guess let's start at the beginning. How did you get involved in training? I know you've done a lot of training with military and law enforcement. How did you get into that, and how did you get in kettlebells?
That's a good question. Getting involved in training law enforcement, military, really just kind of just more of the background that I had, just spending time in the military, college, a little military, then I started working for the Department of Energy. They have a lot of people really aren't familiar with it, but they got a lot of security and stuff for either at the sites where they, manufacture or dismantle or do whatever with nuclear weapons and stuff. And so I kind of got involved in training them back in the early 90s and doing firearms tactics and doing combatives training. So really, I was just doing that for about 17 years, in different capacities, doing everything from just training, guys coming through like recruit training to training trainer courses, just a lot of ways. But really, the underlying factor was always, conditioning. You got to be fit to fight. You got to be fit to do your job. I was always big on conditioning from, martial arts background, did a little boxing and stuff growing up. But always really, try to stay in shape and all that. But the problem is by the time, like, the late 90s rolled around, so I had a lot of injuries and stuff accrued over the years from everything from playing football and, rugby, different things. For example, I had, three shoulder surgeries, two on my right, one on my left. Said meniscus taken my right knee twice. Blew out my ACL, had that reconstructed. A couple surgeries kind of get my nose where I could breathe out of again. Guess I broke it a couple dozen times. Things like that, a few broken bones here and there. But just saying all that, say, by the time year 2000 was kind of rolling around, I was like, I always said, I can't lead by example. It's time to start changing jobs, So I was like, So I was facing a possible career change, but that's really when I ended up doing more training with Pavel Tatulin, and he introduced, like, you know, the kind of low rep strength training, a little more functional, doing the deadlifts, things like that. And between that, then a year later when the kettlebells came out, I started training with them. Totally, like, rehabbed me, my injuries, and, you know, and that's it. Okay, the whole fitness thing, like what I'm doing now for CrossFit and for my own company, Tactical Athlete, that just kind of evolved. Never had any ambition being, like, a fitness superstar. Yeah, I mean, it's just pretty – actually, the thought still makes me kind of laugh. Things kind of silly, but it is what it is, you know, and just kind of evolved out of necessity.
Cool. All
right, well, did you have something to say, bud?
No, I was just going to say that, yeah, we'll definitely talk later about that, about the injury thing, because, like I said, he tends to gloss over – you know, the multiple shoulder stuff, but it's a pretty incredible story, man, and really speaks to your mental determination as well as being smart about your physical training to, I mean, you know, overcoming multiple shoulder and knee surgeries and the nose surgery thing, and that's just, you know, crazy. But really, it really also talks about heavy, functional, smart training can build strength in and around a joint and keep it back together when almost nothing else can.
Right.
Exactly. That's a big, big important thing that most people miss, especially a lot of law enforcement, military, and fighter type guys. I read a thing from Steve Vaccari recently where he talked about, most people's conditioning program for fighters is they call it a strength and conditioning program, but there's no strength. It's just all conditioning.
Exactly.
And it's a huge, huge deal, man. And it makes, I mean, Jeff is a living example of, you know, shoulders that literally wouldn't stay in socket. And now they, you know, they do whatever and they still, you know, they stay together. I mean, that's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Also, we're on that subject, why don't we cover a little more how, obviously you've had a lot of injuries. So how did you work around those and work to heal them to make it so you can do some of the amazing things you can do today?
Okay. Yeah, good question on that. The, I'll tell you, like, I'll speak on what I've done wrong than how I've done things correctly. Like, when I was younger, you know, I kind of just took the, traditional approach, for example, my right shoulder, you know, I dislocated, you know, my senior year playing football, I dislocated every single game in, I was a starting offensive and defensive tackle. And really never missed a play, you know, so I just pop it back in, you know, and go back at it, you know what I mean? And, so after pretty much a season doing that, you know, I got surgery and kind of being a knucklehead, didn't really, pay attention as much as I should when it comes to physical therapy, kind of skipped over that a little bit and pretty much re-injured it, pretty quick, you know? So that 2 years later, I had a second surgery on that shoulder. Then I was like a little smarter, did a lot of physical therapy. You know what I mean? The other shoulder, you know, dislocated that probably about, you know, when I say just my going back to the right shoulder, you know, without exaggeration, I probably had at least 15 full dislocations, like before the first surgery and after the first surgery. You know, then the second surgery actually didn't really take that well either and dislocated that thing all the way up until, 2000 until I started training with kettlebells. And that one dislocated easy a couple times a year, doing crazy stuff like sleeping, you know. Talk about a rude awakening, but it is what it is. Left shoulder, same thing. Dislocated about 4 times and had surgery on that. But knowing what I know now is I could have definitely, you know, skipped out on those surgeries. I could have avoided them because because like I was saying with the right shoulder, even after the second surgery, still kept dislocating it, but it was through strength training and particularly doing kettlebells, paying more, having more of an eye for detail and really paying attention. And that's really the biggest thing is having an eye for detail and doing things correctly, and doing good functional training. Turkish gaps was phenomenal, part of, rehabbing my shoulder. And again, paying attention to details, staying tight, understand what an active shoulder is, a lot of military presses, a lot of pull-ups, You know, but just taking time and being patient. And that's one thing. See about kettlebells, doing presses with the kettlebells, Turkish get-ups, armbar stretches. The biggest benefit is because the offset center of gravity builds strength and flexibility at the same time. And that's a major, major contributor to stabilizing my shoulders.
Well, speaking of get-ups, I'm very curious for myself about this. I've seen videos of you doing a get-up holding a person in your arm. So knowing that you dislocated your shoulder 15 times, how did you get started when you first tried this, and can you give some tips on how someone else may, if they want to try this, how they can do it too?
Okay, sure, I can do that. You know, when I first learned to get up, and this is probably a year before kettlebells came out, we were doing some training with Pavel. We had him come up to Santa Fe, and he did a special law enforcement thing for our agency. And anyway, it was like 5 days, doing all sorts of strength training, different things, and flexibility and stuff. But he showed us doing, you know, the Turkish get-up with a dumbbell at that point because kettlebells weren't out. And he made a statement. In one of his books, he mentions it again, but when we're doing the seminar, he's like, hey, you know, he's just saying that a lot of old time strong guys and wrestlers and stuff used to, you know, do the get up and they used to build themselves up. So, you know, like basically, like if you wanted to start doing strength training, we'll give you this exercise. And until you were able to do 100 pounds in either hand, they wouldn't give you another exercise. And I'm like, that's pretty interesting, you know. And the whole time I was thinking, you know, is that just folklore? Is that just like lifting legend or what? But it gave me a goal to work towards. And it probably took me about a year and a half to get to that goal. Right. And I had like a homemade kettlebell that I made. That was about 105 pounds. And so I was able to accomplish that goal. But during that time, my kids were pretty little and probably about 6 and 8 years old. And somebody sent me, and it could have been Powell, sent me an article on, it was like written in the 30s, it was a Sigmund Klein article, and it's about some of the lifts he should do with people, like in demonstrations and stuff. And he was doing some weird stuff, you know, but in this one, he was doing a clean and jerk with a person, right? And the way he had him set up, you know, the person was like kind of balled up. The person is being lifted, you know, he's bent over, his arms underneath his, you know, his knees, and Sigmund, he reached in there, like, you know, underneath his armpit, boom, secured, and he did this clean and jerk. Well, I was looking at that, I'm like, come here, kids, you know what I mean? And I'm like, let me try this, you know? And it didn't work out for me, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, man, it was, like, bothering my shoulder, and I'm like, wonder what else I could do? And I'm like, looking the way that person's balled up, and I'm like, man, I bet you I could do a Turkish get-up with that, you know? I was just like in the backyard, and like I said, my kids were pretty young and pretty light then, you know, maybe 50 pounds, whatever. And I know I had like good strength reserve, you know what I mean? So I'm like, hey, let's try this out. You know, but this is what I told them. I'm like, hey, kids, I'm like, I think Christina was the first one because she's like a koala bear as far as like, you know, she clings on you really well and she stays nice and tight. So I'm like, hey, I'm like, Christina, this is what I want you to do. And I explained to her, you know, what we're going to do. I'm like, here's the deal. I go, just stay tight and don't panic. I go, because when I lift you, when I get all the way to the top, I go, if you panic, it's going to go bad for everybody, you know? Why not go bad for Dad because it'll dislocate my shoulder? Two, it's going to go bad for you because you're going to hit the ground real hard. Three, it's going to go bad for all of us because Mom's going to be pissed. I'm like, this is going to be a bad day all the way around, you know? And so she just kind of laughed. So I messed around, did a couple with her, then Michael's all about it, and then I'm like, man, this is, like, perfect. I'm like, you know, if I keep practicing with my kids, I go, you know, someday, you know, I'll just keep getting strong with it. Kind of like the old, you know, pick up the calf, you know, every day like Milo did. And that's pretty much how it worked out, you know. And all up until the first – so I was just goofing around with my kids for, I don't know, a couple of years, you know. And my very first kettlebell seminar I did for CrossFit, Tony Budding, he kind of put my wife on the spot, you know what I mean? Because she didn't really trust me as much as my kids did. And my wife's pretty light. She's only like 115, maybe 110 pounds, you know? And, And so I did it with her, and from then on, it was like, it was pretty fun. Right now, the heaviest person I've lifted so far is actually my jiu-jitsu instructor, Samuel Braga. He's 145 pounds, six-time world champion, too. but that's kind of where I'm at right now.
That's pretty awesome, man, and especially because you're only about 200 pounds, right, Jeff?
Yeah, 200 pounds, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's 75% of your body weight with a Turkish get-up, especially with a physical weight instead of with a live person instead of a iron weight. That's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of fun. But, you know, my only, and I tell people this because he's like, you know, because sometimes people will see me do the demo, then they'll decide to, you know, just on a fly or on a whim, try to do it with, like, you know, I mean, their teenage daughter or something, you know, and, you know, without ever doing a get up in their life, you know what I mean? And it usually doesn't work out too well, you know? So my advice is get technically proficient, start with a weight, build up a big reserve of strength, then start with some light kids if you don't have any quarrelsome nieces and nephews or something, you know?
That's great. Yeah. I've been doing barbell get-ups, but I have yet to try a human, but I think I'm going to now.
Oh, yeah, man, it's good. I think barbell get-ups are harder than picking up people, you know. But I'd agree with that.
I think because I've done a lot of, in the shows and stuff, I've done a lot of pressing with people, and trying to balance a barbell with a 7-foot barbell is much harder than trying to balance a dumbbell or a kettlebell or even a person.
Yeah.
With the exception of the fact if they do get scared and freak out at the top, and then that becomes a real problem.
It does.
All right. Well, let's talk about some more fun training. So why don't we go on the subject of kettlebell juggling? How did you get started with that?
Kettlebell juggling. Again, it's like all these things kind of just evolved out of necessity, you know. At the time, right, the agency I was working for, we were the first federal agency to actually officially adopt like kettlebells into our recruit training program. And at that time, it was like 2001, 2002, right in there. We're doing a lot of cleans, a lot of kettlebell swings, a lot of kettlebell cleans, a lot of kettlebell snatches, you know, and when we train in the morning, you know, I'll hang out and go rep for rep with all the guys and stuff, and, you know, and it's all a good time. And sometimes, you know, the majority of the time we do like one training session a day. Sometimes the way the classes were, sometimes they're divided. So sometimes I do like two sessions, you know what I mean? But as the guys starting to get more technically proficient, and plus they're younger and stuff, you know, I was like, they're really like adapting real quick. I'm thinking, man, what can I do? You know what I mean? To kind of keep an edge over these guys, you know, without doing more clean swings and snatches. So I started doing a little more research, and I was rereading through Powell's first book on kettlebell lifting, and in there he mentions this kind of, you know, I don't know, probably two or three different places about some of these old time strong guys, and, you know, and he mentions like kettlebell juggling, you know, and so I called him up, and I'm like, hey man, I'm like, what's the deal with that kettlebell juggling? And he's like, you know, Jeff, because I'll be honest with you, he goes, I don't really have much experience with it. He's like, you know, I never really messed around with that. He's like, but he goes, it's pretty much how it goes. He goes, you know how you do, you like, say a two-arm swing? I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, when you get to, and kettlebell comes to the top, he's like, he goes, pretty much just release the handle, goes the kettlebell flip, reestablish your grip on the handle, and keep swinging, you know? I'm like, is that it? He's like, yeah, that's basically it. I'm like, right on, you know? So armed with that information, I hung up the phone and grabbed my kettlebell, went out in my front yard. And now at this point, after having multiple surgeries and, you know what I mean, being broken a zillion times, you know, I'm sitting there like, you know, I try to make it a good habit to pray first. Yeah, I mean, I'm like, you know, Lord, you know, I need some wisdom here, and please keep me from, like, you know, just crippling myself. Because, you know that old saying, if you're going to be stupid, you better be tough. You know what I mean? Well, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm trying to be smarter. Yeah, I mean, so at this point, so I just kind of took it easy, you know what I mean? Just kind of just started with two-arm swings and, you know, just kind of messing around, just releasing it, flipping and catching, releasing it and doing that. And I'm like, all right, you know, not too bad. And you kind of know, I noticed, like, when I dropped the kettlebell, I was breathing kind of heavy. I'm like, that's pretty cool. I'm like, man, I wonder what else I could do. So I started messing around with the, you know, figure eights, and started working, like, uppercut drills, because I try to always bring everything back to fighting. Is it going to, you know, really, and that's really what it comes back down to, is, like, for me, for fitness, if it's not increasing your performance or your sport or your job, you know what I mean, then you're really wasting your time, you know? And so for me, it had a link back to, you know, it'd be, you know, make me a better fighter, better grappler, better, you know, shooter, better, you know, whatever, and give me stamina and stuff like that. So as I started messing around with it, you know, it's like I realized real quick, and anybody who's played around with it, you realize you start huffing and puffing pretty fast, you know? And, but it's also really fun, you know, because, you know, for me, just doing, like, if I was just doing long sets of, like, repetitive motions, you know what I mean? I mean, it's all right, and it definitely has its place, but, you know, but it doesn't fit my personality all that well. I don't know if I got ADD or what, you know what I mean? But I like to, you know, be moving and change things up a lot. And by working that, working the juggling, and I realized right away that, one, is really good cardiovascular, two, work a lot of rotational strength, you know, so because a lot of the traditional kettlebell drills are very linear in nature, these are more rotational in nature, and your hand speed really gets fast, you know, and plus your dynamic grip for grabbing people or grabbing things. So it ended up like accomplished really all the goals I wanted to, and it was just flat out fun, you know what I mean? So that's really how it started, and it just kind of evolved, because it wasn't until after, like, my first DVD came out, that I even knew that there was, like, a sport over in, you know, the former Soviet Union of kettlebell juggling. I've never seen anybody juggle up to that time. And I guess the Germans, prior to World War II, had their own sport. They did a lot of juggling and kind of in formation and throwing it to each other and stuff. It's kind of interesting. But that was all after the fact.
Yeah, especially for martial artists, I find that kettlebell juggling's probably one of the best things, just because it's more chaotic and it's not as swing to snatches.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's like, cause a lot of people, like, especially guys, you know, they'll sit there, they'll start lifting, they, you know, start doing kettlebells and stuff. They're like, oh yeah, you know, and they may jump up in weight pretty quick. But I tell you what, you know, and a lot of people kind of like, oh, you know, that's just a 36-pound kettlebell, you know, and they kind of outgrow it. But, man, once you start juggling, you start right back right back at the lightweight, and you can really keep it going for a while, you know. So.
And like you said, it's a lot of fun. Not all of us have the willpower to do 3,000 straight swings like Bud did.
That's right, yeah. You know, every once in a while, you know, when Bud first was telling me about that, I was like, man, that's pretty motivating. You know what I mean? Then I'm like, man, I should try that. You know, I probably wouldn't get to about, I get it to about 50 or 60. I'm like, man, forget about that. Like, what was he thinking? Yeah.
That's funny. Sometimes he don't know what he's thinking either, so don't worry. Yeah, whatever.
So,
I'll tell you what, the juggling thing, that you'd be surprised, man. And I'll tell you something people haven't thought about, but like my son got into doing some juggling from watching Jeff and also from watching some of Logan stuff or whatever, and I know Mikey's done some. And I tell you what, I think as an athletic prep, this is something nobody talks about, but as an athletic preparatory thing for kids, it can be phenomenal. Because I haven't found anything that requires that and increases in an athletic way the hand-eye coordination that requires and that does. Plus, it's the same thing that kids, you know, kids are really not likely to do 1,000 swings in a row.
But
they're a lot more likely to do something that's fun and challenging and has some variation, and they move around and, you know, kind of master multiple skills at one time. They're a lot more likely to do it. And, you know, it doesn't require a super heavy weight or whatever, and it's pretty safe, you know. Teach a lot of good factors, for a lot of good things for kids. And I think that's something that, man, I mean, that's something I really am glad, like, and almost, like, challenged by a little bit, because, like, my son's got better hand-eye coordination than I got from, you know, and he's 13, which is cool, but kind of ticks me off at the same time, you know. I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
No, but, you're right on.
I mean, that's great. And start them right away, building that fitness, building that strength, building that coordination all at the same time. And, you know, other forms of strength training require some coordination, but not that much, not that kind, you know?
Right.
Nothing like that. And that's cool, man. Because talk about giving them an advantage in life to, you know, from Jump Street, from the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very cool.
No, it is. And I'll tell you something along those lines, too, is, you know, because sometimes when people, like, they get pretty intimidated when they, you know, some people are like, oh, yeah, it inspires them and stuff. But some people are like, man, that's a little crazy. You know what I mean? It's a little, like, you know, they think it's a little over the top. But, you know, the thing that's interesting is, like, through teaching it, like, all these years and stuff, and, yeah, I find, like, an easy substitute to get people going on the juggling, you know, is doing, like, doing those drills all the time, those, the shot drills. Doing drills with a shot put. And, check this out, right? You can do really the movements for all the HOH and kettlebell juggling stuff. You can do with like a steel shot or indoor, you know, soft shelled shot or 5-inch gripper D ball. All those kind of work the same. And it's working. So now you got a lightweight, say like 8 pounds instead of 18 or 36 pounds, right? And you can, and kids are used to doing ball handling drills. You know, just having a ball in their hand, you know, most kids, even if they're not, it's easy to pick up. And the movements are the same. You're still going, you know, you still do figure eights, you could do your uppercut drills, you can still do all this other stuff, but you don't have a handle, you don't have to worry about flipping. But you're working the movement patterns, and it still gets you breathing really fast, and it still gets your hand speed up, too. So then once they feel comfortable with that, then it's like, hey, check this out. Then you give them the kettlebell, and it's, and really, boom, makes the learning curve go really, really, really fast.
Wow, that's great, and that would work for both kids and adults. That would, that's
absolutely
great. That's, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, there's been some fighters over the years, too, that used to juggle, like, light shot puts, like Bernard Hopkins, and there's some other older guys, too. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but it is, man. It's just phenomenal. It is phenomenal.
Wow. Now, how did you – tell us how you got – how did that idea come to you, Jeff? How did you end up in that, and how did that? Because I know you're the first person, the only person I've ever seen actually do that. And when I, you know, only had a chance to work with you for like a 30 seconds on it when we were together one time, but I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And how did that come to you? And you know, where's that going? I know you got a new DVD coming out with that, like next
right.
week or something. So.
Right, right. Well, I tell you, it, we were traveling, we were doing. We're up in New England doing some training, and I kind of been thinking about, you know, I mean, for a while, like, I'm like, man, what else can I do, you know, doing, you know, the kettlebell juggling and all that, and I'm thinking, what other implement can I use, you know what I mean, besides kettlebell, and I was thinking, like, shot put and things like that, but I've never been around them, you know what I mean, you know, never had one, so, and I was up, we're doing some training at, this is early on at Anthony's place, up at Punch Gym in Rhode Island. And he just so happened to have a crate of these steel shots, you know what I mean, that somebody gave him. And he wasn't really doing, I don't think he was doing anything with them at the time. I'm like, hey, man, I go, I've been looking, you know, for some shots, you know. I go, can I have one? He's like, yeah, sure, you know, and he gave me one. And because we were like, man, it was a big, long trip that we were on. So I take that to my hotel room, then I started goofing around with it, you know what I mean? I'm like, man, what can I do? I'm like, you know, and I started like, immediately started like incorporating all the stuff that I was doing with the kettlebell with the shot, and like, you know, I came up with a whole bunch of drills. I'm like, wow, man, that's pretty cool. And again, because now you're using a lighter weight that's moving way faster, you know, and it's kind of interesting too. It's like you're moving so fast, and it kind of works your grip in a totally different way, because now you can, because, and especially that particular shot was it was heavy enough and big enough. I think that one might have been like 18 pounds or something, where I couldn't like grip it and just hold it. Like it would just fall out of my hand. So you got to kind of cup it and kind of cock your wrist when you're working it, you know? So it was really working a lot of finger strength, a lot of grip strength. And again, like your hand speed was really quick. And I noticed every time I put that down or if I dropped it, it's like neurologically, your body's like really primed. Like you just really, really, what you feel like is like hitting a heavy bag or, you know, start hitting something, you know what I mean? Because your hands are like way faster and you're all primed, you know what I mean? So they start throwing punches, you know? And I'm like, man, that's pretty cool. But, so I came up with, So we did a video, shot one, was basically a bunch of those drills. Well, this new video, shot two, is kind of takes it to the next level. Where now I'm using a steel shot. I'm using your indoor. The one I was using is actually a 5-inch gripper ball from D-Ball, and it's about 12 pounds. You can get them, you know, eight pounds is probably a good starting weight, and or you can just use an indoor shot. And what you do, you work the same drills, but now you're standing in front of a brick wall or a concrete wall or a cinder block wall, and you work your drills and you throw it, like just like you throw a punch right into the wall. And you got to use your body. The weight's heavy enough, you don't throw it like you're throwing a softball or a baseball. I mean, you have to throw it straight. You got to use your body. And I'll tell you what, and it just keeps flowing, and you're bouncing this thing off the wall. And because it's like, you know, like a D-ball, a dead ball, the thing, when it hits, I mean, you got to really wind, you really got to use your body to throw it. And so it's working all your rotational strength, and it really transfers to anything. I don't care. And, you know, I'm not a baseball player nor a golfer, but rotational strength is rotational strength, you know. I don't care if you're throwing punches, throwing a ball, you know what I mean, using a ram to batter down a door. I mean, it's all rotational strength. And this thing here definitely builds that big time, you know. And again, it's a lot of fun.
It's cool. I'm going to use some of that with the fighters that I'm training right now, because they're like, I've introduced them to a little bit of kettlebell juggling, and this is interesting. These guys are tough and got fast hands or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're freak intimidated by letting the bell go.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It is intimidating. You know, it depends on your environment. I mean, you don't want to let the bell go, like, on a wrestling mat or jiu-jitsu mat, because sometimes if the handle hits a certain way, we'll pop a hole in it. And
right.
People kind of frown upon that. But those balls, those balls are pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, excellent.
Yep. I haven't tried shot trainings, but I think I'm going to have to now, because that sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. You love it. If you juggle, you'll love doing the shot training. It's pretty cool. And it also serves as a really good warm-up, you know. Like sometimes, you know, like I'll do a bunch of joint mobility drills or whatever, and sometimes I'll just grab a light shot and just start using that as for joint mobility. And, man, and it warms you up really good, makes your joints feel good. Then you just put that down and just start your regular workout. So you kind of work it a couple different ways, you know, as a workout or as joint mobility or an active rest. I mean, it's pretty fun.
That's cool. That's also cool because it gives you a completely different neurological set to work with. A completely, you know, because it's very fast. It's not real heavy, but it's heavy enough to get a little muscular work and to create some intensity. And like, that's one thing I've talked about recently is I don't really believe in, like, you know, the whole bodybuilder thing was multi-angular training, and really what they're doing is just repeating very minor differences in what they do training-wise on a lot of different exercises. For instance, 8 exercises for your chest, well, it's all the same, it's all chest work, it's all kind of useless really as far as repeating it. But when you talk about really varying your training from, okay, I went from earlier today I did, you know, heavy partial deadlifts and heavy one-arm presses or Turkish get-ups or whatever, where it was slow and tight and powerful, to something that's light and super fast and super high repetition and requires a tremendous amount of movement and coordination. That's a really cool variation to put in, and talk about building a really wide range of both neurological as well as physical skills all at the same time. That's there. It's very, very smart.
Right. Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly.
Yeah, I'd say there's only a few things that really offer that kind of three-dimensional training. I'd say the shot training, kettlebell juggling, and various types of club swinging. It's really a three-dimensional thing that you can't get in pretty much any other way.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right, Jeff, can you tell us a little bit how maybe in the past couple of years your training has evolved? You said you've been doing a lot of seminars with CrossFit. Has that influenced you at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just tell you a real quick story on how that came about. Before I got involved in CrossFit, and once we started, when I was training, doing recruit training, we were doing a lot of kettlebells. We didn't have a gym at the time, so everything we were doing is outside. We had outdoor pull-up bars, outdoor dip stations, using kettlebells, kegs, stuff like that. And it came to a point where they're getting ready to build a facility for us. And, you know, so like, hey, Jeff, what do you want to build, you know? So, like, what do you think we should have in it, this and that? and because it's going to be, you know, part of it's going to be for, you know, to support the fitness training for the recruits, but also to do the combative training that we do with them and the arrest and control stuff. So I'm like, all right, you know what I mean? And at that point, it's like, you know, we're doing, we weren't doing this for recruit training, but I was personally doing, you know, doing a lot of the, you know, starting to do a lot more deadlifts, weighted pull-ups, you know what I mean, you know, things like that, a lot of the more functional strength stuff in addition to kettlebells. And I knew, I go, this is what we need. And I drew out this sketch, right? And this is like probably about 2 years before I heard of CrossFit. And I'm like, because I just knew instinctively, I'm like, you know what? I go, we need to have a couple platforms set up to do Olympic lifting. Because I didn't know anything about Olympic lifting other than, you know what I mean, that, you know, we need to get some bumper plates and get some instruction on it to build power and stuff, you know? Like, we need to also have those platforms and some cages, you know, where we could do deadlifts and, you know, back squats and things like that, you know, for strength. And I go, you know, we need to get some rings. And this is, like, before, you know, any of the ring training, any of the other stuff. The only rings you could buy at this point was just those wooden rings, you know? We need to get some rings and learn some gymnastic stuff. Because I knew, you know, pound for pound, like, dude, who's stronger than a gymnast, you know? I had no realistic idea, like, you know, what progression, what it took, you know what I mean? But I'm like, so, you know, so what I sketched out at that time was really what I, you know, learned a couple of years later. Man, it was like, man, that's what CrossFit's doing, you know what I mean? That's like the CrossFit gym, like the garage gym. Well, it's kind of funny because I pretty much got shot down on the whole idea of like, no, we need machines, we need this, we need that. I'm like, what? You know? I'm like, no, we don't. I'm like, that's just going to, you know what I mean? Like, you know, because all our recruit classes, guys are just getting in better shape, better shape, better shape. Injuries are going down, down, down. Performance going up, up, up. And I can tell you from personal experience, you know, machines are like, they're the enemy right next to bench pressing, you know what I mean? It's just useless. But anyway, it was too radical for the folks at the time. So I ended up working. So I left that job and ended up working at Direct Action Resource Center, where I was doing, you know, a lot of stuff with them and functional fitness and stuff. And a buddy of mine that came through one of the RKCs that we had down at Darcy, he's like, hey, Jeff. He's like, man, he goes, you need to check out this thing called CrossFit. I'm like, yeah. He tried to tell me about the website. And, dude, I'm like, especially at that time, like, I couldn't surf the net, you know what I mean, to save my life, man. I got his about on the homepage. He's like, man, you got to check out the demos and stuff. I'm like, dude, I can't even figure it out. I'm like, you're going to have to talk me through this. You know what I mean? You know, and he's like, and I never did figure it out. He's like, hey, you know what? Because why don't you just come with me to the CrossFit? They're having a certification up in Colorado. I'm like, yeah, right on. You know what I mean? So I went up there, and that was like one of the early ones. They had like Mark Twight was still up there, Dan John, Chris Summers was a gymnastics coach at the time, and for CrossFit, and, you know, obviously coach class and stuff. Dude, since I went up there, listened to all those guys talk and go through the workouts, I'm like, man, this is exactly what I was thinking, you know what I mean? But when I say thinking in concept, now don't get me wrong, it's like their methodology as far as, man, putting it all together, program design, it does like light years of anything. Only thing I was thinking of, yeah, we need to do Olympic lifting, you know, deadlifting, gymnastics, but I had no realistic idea how to get that. And they were like, you know, like I said, light years ahead of me. So it was an easy fit. It wasn't like, well, you know. You know, so I really think it's good. So since then, I've been trying to improve upon gymnastics, improve upon Olympic lifting, improve upon all the deficiencies I had and never really had experience with. So everything's like a work in progress, so to speak. But man, it's just a lot of fun.
Cool. What do you think the best thing, this is probably going to be impossible to answer, but what do you think the best thing that you've picked up in the last few years from them as far as either a concept or like a particular exercise or workout or whatever that, like what's your favorite thing with that?
Yeah, that's, you know.
You don't have to limit it to one thing, but I just wanted to ask for, you know, one or two things that you really enjoy or that you really think is really, truly functional and useful that you picked up from them.
Well, I'll tell you what, just generally, I'll kind of hit it from a couple different angles. I think the metabolic conditioning is really, really good. It's like this, you know. It's like, I think the biggest, it's kind of like with Steve Akari, like you quoted Steve earlier saying the biggest, you know, missing element in any program is strength. So for years of doing, like, when I started getting kettlebells and stuff, you know, well, even before that, you know, doing the deadlifts, the presses, doing, like, the power to the people type workouts, that was really important to build a baseline of strength. You know, get as strong as you can, you know, get as strong as possible, light as possible body weight. You know, when you're doing weighted pull-ups, things like that. So that was there, you know, and to a certain extent doing the, you know, conditioning, strength endurance, doing the kettlebells, doing, you know, the snatches, the cleans, doing the, juggling and all that. But the way CrossFit puts together some of the metabolic conditioning, dude, is really, man, it is, very, very challenging. Very challenging. And it pushes to the point where I probably would never push myself that hard. You know what I mean? Just honestly, I probably would never, you know, so that was pretty challenging. But having said that, you know what I mean? Going back to attention to detail when it comes to doing techniques, I can't overemphasize the importance of that. A lot of times, you know, because the internet, there's so much information on the internet. Now, some people, they'll get on the internet, you know, whether they're looking at, you know, some stuff I'm doing on my website, or if they're looking at CrossFit, they'll see a workout, and they're like, man, that looks pretty cool. Now, up to this point, the person has never did, like, an Olympic lift, never did a kettlebell swing, you know what I mean? I haven't done any of that. Maybe he's just been on machines most of his life, or who knows, you know what I mean? And then they decide to do that and try to do that workout at the prescribed weight, and they end up hurting themselves. And you're like, oh, you know what I mean? CrossFit stinks or kettlebell stinks. And it's like, no, you're just being stupid, you know what I mean? You know, and I've been stupid enough where, you know, I could, you know, say that, and I'm not condemning anybody, because there is a fine line between training hard and being stupid. But really, the older I get, and with the injuries, and that's one thing that's been a real blessing, is having all those injuries, because now I have a super, you know, attention to detail, and you never sacrifice your form for time or reps, and that's probably the most important thing. You know, if I can convey or write in stone would be that, you know, just have the self-discipline that, hey, you know what, before your form falls apart, you know, take a break, drop to a lighter weight, or go to an alternate exercise, you know what I mean? And you know what, it's just like, you're going to get in better shape, everything's going to be all right, you know, it's just like, you want to achieve your goal, but you don't want to cripple yourself in the process, you know what I mean? We're here to train, not to maim, and so... Having said that, I love the specialty certifications for CrossFit, not just because I do one, you know what I mean, for kettlebells, but because it's like, I just love to learn. Gymnastics, you know, I was like, you know, took the gymnastics cert, love that. You know, my kids were taking gymnastics, you know, for a while. I jump in and ask their coach, I'm like, hey, can I jump in? Dude, this is when my kids were like little, or, you know, he's like, yeah, you know what I mean? And, you know, so I'm doing cartwheels with all these little kids, you know what I mean? And they, like, look like a total freak. But, man, it's fun because you always get better. You get more skillful. And, you know what I mean, you get stronger. So it's just, you know, you just have so much fun, you know, whether it's that, Olympic lifting, kettlebell lifting, what have you. You know.
Covered some great points that if someone can really take those to heart, I think that's a hard thing for a lot of people to do, talking about the, you know, knowing when to ease back, because in a sense, working out and training is such a testosterone-filled thing. And in CrossFit, when you're doing the classes, I've been to a few because one of my brothers is really into it.
Yeah,
you're going for a good time and you're trying to beat the other people there, but you got to be smart, and in the long run, that'll give you more results and keep you injury-free.
You know, that's true. That's true, and you really. You know, it's easier said than done. You really got to check your ego at the door. You know what I mean? Because this one thing I really do like about, you know, just kind of CrossFitters in general is that they're very encouraging. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, look at me, I'm so much better than you. Everybody tries as hard as they can. But you know what? And it's just kind of like at this one cert. It's like, you know, there's a bunch of guys, a bunch of high speed guys, military guys and stuff that were in there. And these guys like smoked it. You know what I mean? They were like the first ones to finish. But you know what? When this lady was like, you know, she's like one of the last ones coming, and she's like older, she's really deconditioned. But you know what? everybody was cheering her on. You know, all those guys that finished first, dude, they're like cheering her on, like, you know what I mean? Like, she's getting ready to win a medal. You know what I mean? And it's just like, everybody's very encouraging that way. And that's really it. I tell you, dude. And here's the thing. It's just like, they'll look and see what, they'll see me do some stuff and they're like, oh, Jeff's just like a genetic freak, or he's like this and that. It's like, no, it's like, one, if I could do anything, you know what I mean? Anybody can do it. But two, it's like, and this is just reality. It's just like, dude, like those, when my kids are doing gymnastics, I'm watching like these little girls and some of the stuff that they could do, like these girls that are like on the competition team, like 6 years old, dude, they got more strength. You know what I mean? I'm still trying to get as strong as some of those 6 year old girls. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, it's like a story I always tell at, you know, I was at Wake Forest University, you know, going over some Olympic lifts. Ethan Reeves was taking me through some stuff. Me and another buddy of mine from work, you know, and, so we're there, you know, we got a little, you know, got the bar and got these like little weights on it and just going through the, you know, different progressions for Olympic lifting. And in comes this young female athlete, right? Little blonde haired girl. And she sets up down the other end and she starts like, boom, starts doing kettlebell swings, you know? I'm like, wow, man, that girl has pretty good form, you know? So she does a couple sets of, you know, some kettlebell swings and then she starts putting some weight on the bar and dude, she's doing like, you know what I mean? She's doing cleans, she's doing jerks with the bar, just jump up, doing pull ups. I'm talking, everything's like perfect form. And she's like, she's cranking some pretty good weight too, you know? I'm like, wow, man. So she kind of, you know, she's done working out. We're still kind of goofing around with our, like, little weights and just kind of, you know, PVC pipes, whatever. And my friend talks to her and say, hey, you know, what sport do you play? You know, what year are you in, this and that? Long story short, this girl is a female freshman golfer. Yeah, she's on the golf team. later on, the girls' volleyball team came in. Dude, and those girls were very strong, very athletic. I mean, it was just like the workout they were doing Olympic lift stuff like that was very impressive. You know, so basically at the end of the day, I look at my buddy, I'm like, hey, Brian, I go, you know what, man? I go, we need to set some realistic training goals. I go, first, we need to get as strong as these female freshman golfers. Then maybe, you know, I mean, we get as strong as the female volleyball team. Yeah, who knows? Maybe men's chess. I'm like, this is like ridiculous, you know what I mean? It's so behind the curve.
That's funny. But it's true. That's very, very true. And you know, everything I think in life always goes back to balance on those issues of working hard enough to get it done, but not so hard you kill yourself. And,
yeah, exactly.
And you can go from, it doesn't matter where you start on the strength curve of any particular activity, you can learn it. You can, if you're willing to dedicate the effort and the time and the, you know, and sometimes it's smart to start with weight that's less than the girls' golf team when you're learning how to do things.
That's right.
But eventually you'll be, you know what I'm saying, you can eventually be, you can catch them or be stronger or whatever. It doesn't,
yeah.
You know. That's something I think people don't, that's a big thing I think they don't have conception of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is the fact of how strong they really can be if they pay attention to how to do the things they want to do.
Yeah.
That's such a huge, huge, huge issue. And that's the reason I think most people really, they don't need to do it all the time, but at some point during their training career, they need to go get with somebody who's really competent live and get some real hands-on instruction.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They need, because you just can't, you can learn great from videos, you know,
yeah,
but you can't learn everything. It's not,
you know,
you can learn in 5 minutes, but it'd take you 5 hours to learn.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because, you know, and that's the thing, like, if you're learning, and here's the thing, you know, when you're learning any new skill, you know, it's pretty much, I don't care what skill it is, you know, there's three phases of learning people go through. And then not to get all, you know, like a brainiac, which I'm not, but it's like, you know, people go through the cognitive phase, the associative stage, and the autonomous stage of learning, right? The cognitive stage, the first stage of learning, it doesn't matter what it is. You're teaching kids to roll a ball, driving a car, lifting a weight. You know what I mean? It's just like people are going to make lots of errors, and they have no ability to detect and correct their own errors. You know what I mean? And that's why you need a coach. Because here's the thing. I could look at a video, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I think I'm doing it right. But guess what? If this is a totally new skill, out of the blue, never done it, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? For, say, Olympic lifting, I'm like, yeah, I think I got it, you know what I mean? But you know what? I'm making lots of errors. I have no ability to detect and correct my own errors. Conversely, you know what I mean? So the problem with that is I'll set up some bad movement patterns. Then as I start going up in weight, you know what I mean? Then those bad movement patterns are going to catch up with me and I'm going to get injured. You know what I mean? But like you're saying,
it magnifies. The more weight, the higher the weight, the more the error is magnified.
Exactly. But if you spend the time really to seek out competent instruction, a coach, he'll identify it. That's why you go to the coach, because coach could be like, hey man, you know what? You need to be, open up your chest, get your butt back. He'll give you these coaching cues and he'll fix it until you got the consistency. You know what I mean? Then you move along. So that, and really at this stage of the game, like for me, it's like I'll see a lot of stuff on video, but I'll go, I won't try anything new. Like a couple years ago, I was looking at him like, yeah, I need to probably try to do some muscle ups, you know. So I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, there's got to be another way to do it, or progressions or whatever. I waited till I got, eyeball to eyeball with a competent coach. And I'm like, hey, take me through the progressions, look at my form, and boom. And that's the safest way to go. I mean, it's money. If you have to spend money for that, there's money extremely very well invested. Yeah.
That's true. And that wasn't something we intended to plan or just try to tell people to do that. I mean, when we talked about that tonight or whatever. But, I mean, like, you and I and Logan have all, and we're all fairly high-level coaches already,
mm-hmm.
and have spent money to go learn things from other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't care how, that's the whole self-sales fitness industry is real, self-righteous about that kind of thing. I learned everything on my own. Yeah, well, no, you didn't. Everybody learns from somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
And being humble enough to learn, to know that you don't know everything and that you can always pick things up from other people. And there are people who are full-on competent experts at that particular thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the deeper you get in it, also you learn the deeper skills, and that's even another thing is the issue is you learn as you teach.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My skill has gotten better at the lifts that I've done as I've taught other people.
Yeah.
As well as, just learning on my own. And that all plays in together. And if you're already, super strong or super fit or whatever, that speaks to everybody needs to be getting with somebody. To learn how you want to do those things. That's really a big issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We had a couple questions get in, and since we're coming up on an hour, I'd like to get to these. First, it's a real quick one from Mike. What's a good shot weight for joint mobility?
Good shot weight? I'd say, for a guy, I'd say 8 pounds probably good. It's good. Yeah, 8 pounds would be good. For females, say probably 6, but for a guy, I'd say 8. Yeah, 8 would be a good weight to start with.
Okay. And from Frank, he said that, I see that you are a certified paddling ropes coach. I was also certified by a John Brookfield and love the training. How do you integrate that training with kettlebells, CrossFit, combatives, et cetera?
That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I love the paddling ropes. You know what? For me, it just depends where I'm at, what I have access to, really, for equipment, because I'm on the road a lot, and a lot of times I'm in really an austere training environment. But the ropes, I like working the ropes, just like in a circuit, and usually I use it as a finisher. Like I'll do my strength training first, then I'll maybe do some kettlebell lifts, whatever, but then I'll finish up with the ropes as pretty much a smoker. And I like going back and forth on it, like. Whether you're doing like 30 seconds on, you can do a Tabata format, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. Sometimes if I have a training partner with me, we'll both go like do 30 seconds one drill, he does 30 seconds, and we just go back and forth for, 10 minutes or something like that.
Okay. And for anyone that's not too familiar with the battling ropes, we're going to have John Brookfield on this call in just a couple weeks. So
awesome.
Talk more about it then.
Yeah, I tell you what, that's just one more humbling implement right there.
Boy, is it. You ain't kidding me.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, it's just about 6 o'clock. Do you think you could stay on a little longer, Jeff?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We got a couple more questions.
Okay.
What would you say is the most important thing in physical training for law enforcement officers or military? Maybe something that a lot of people in those positions might neglect.
Yeah, because as I'm thinking, answering that, there's just such a broad spectrum when it comes to like the officers in the military and stuff. But it really comes down, you know, there's been, you know, CrossFit's making huge gains in law enforcement military, which is great. These people, you know, it's exposing the functional training, you know, in which is excellent. Because the thing is going back to the quote from Steve Akari, in most of the people's strength and conditioning programs, whether it's law enforcement, military, anybody, is missing the strength component. And in breaking the mold, right, or the mentality of bodybuilding. You know, because bodybuilding is not strength training, you know. And, you know, bodybuilders, even though they might have been athletes, or, you know, some bodybuilders might have been athletes before, but bodybuilding is really not athletic, you know what I mean? And it's just like, it's really counterproductive. So it's like doing isolation, you know, is pretty much, it's pretty much a myth, you know what I mean, unless you're stuck on a man-made machine and, you know, you're doing that type of stuff. For athleticism, which we want to build, is, you know, you have to have muscle incorporation, muscle coordination. Everything has to work together. And that's where, you know, that's why, you know, whether you're deadlifting, doing Olympic lifts, doing any athletic type of lift like that, that's why it'll actually help you in your performance or your duties. Now, so I'd say for in the law enforcement military realm, I'd say first of all, it'd be strength training. And just doing more the low rep strength training. And, you know, deadlifts are huge, you know what I mean? Deadlifts, weighted dips, weighted pull-ups, and military presses. And you can throw in handstand push-ups while you're at it, you know what I mean? But I'd say those are, like, you know, the big ones really to work on. You know, and the squat definitely help you out. It just depends, you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with the squat. You know what I mean? Sometimes if you're trying to maintain a certain weight, the squat's gonna, you know, just, if you're in a sport or something where you want to stay light, you know, unless you give yourself long rest periods, you will get heavier. You know what I mean? Which some people may bother, some people doesn't. You know what I mean? It just depends what your training goals are. But it's all good. I'd say that is strength training is, the low rep strength training. Low rep meaning like 80%, one rep max. Never going to muscle failure. That's so important because you, unlike a bodybuilder, like if you had like a law enforcement military person, a soldier, if you you can't afford like to have a big leg day like what Bud was talking about. We do like 8 different exercises for your legs. Everyone's going to muscle failure. Then you walk out and you're like, you can barely move. You know what I mean? And you're limping for the next 5 days. Or you have a big arm day or a chest day or something like that, you know what I mean? And you could like, you know, when you go to try to, you know, open up your car door, you know what I mean, or insert the key to open up your car, you know, you're shaking like some inbred chihuahua, you know what I mean? You can't, you know what I mean? This is like when somebody, and then that's the day that somebody tries to like, you know what I mean, take your weapon from you. You know, how you can defend that, you know what I mean? Quick story on the, having a heavy leg day. A buddy of mine's on a certain team where one of the guys there is still kind of like a bodybuilder and, just refused to transfer over. Well, one day he had a heavy leg day. A couple hours after his training, they got a call out. You know what I mean? He's the first one out of the truck. Boop. He like fell down in a pile. His legs collapsed. You know what I mean? All the other guys jumped out of the truck, stepped on him, went in there, you know, did the business, came back out, and pretty much made fun of him for the next like 2 weeks. You know what I mean? But dude, he's operationally ineffective, you know? So changing kind of the mentality, you know, that for strength training is very important, and to doing metabolic conditioning or the more of the strength endurance type stuff, whether you're doing, you know, the CrossFit complexes and stuff, doing kettlebells, is very important for strength endurance. That's kind of it in a nutshell.
That's a great answer, and that's right. That's all. And people don't get, one thing they don't get is you don't need that massive destructive volume to get the results.
Right.
And you can, when your fitness is high, you can do some radical, radical things. You know, like, I and Jeff can do the same thing. You know, I go deadlift up to my max and be ready to do whatever after without, you know, if I, not that I'm going to get a call out. I'm not in that in any way, but if I had to participate in a situation like that, I'm still ready to go.
Exactly.
And you don't have to work yourself in the ground to get to a crazy level of strength, and you get the protective benefits from it without, you know, the excess body weight or without whatever, and be able to ready to live your life and go if a regular person living your life, or if you're a SWAT guy or whatever else, you gotta go do your job and you can still do it. And that's pretty important.
Yeah. Good time.
I really like your quote there. Bodybuilding is not strength training. I think that just, it's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
All right, on a similar subject, what would you say is the most important things for real self-defense and any physical training you should do for that?
You know, for real self-defense, I tell you what, probably, you know, the biggest thing for real self-defense is proper mindset. And this is what I mean by that, is you know, a lot of people are not going to train for an event that they think is never going to happen to them. You just flat out, you know. I'm not saying that there's like a bad guy or a terrorist behind every training bush, you know what I mean? But probably every other, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's just coming to grips that, you know what, we live in a society where, you know, it's getting more violent pretty much, you know. I'm not saying by today, but it is. You know, there's more threats today, I think. You know, I don't want to say forever, but, you know, but we've been pretty blessed here in the United States. Things have been pretty calm for a long time. But, so, you know, between the criminal element, terrorist element, there's a lot of things out there. Plus, you know, plus the stats on women just alone as far as, like, man, you know, there's so many, you know, people out there that are predators towards them. It's like, I think all ladies really need to train, you know, but really having the mental mindset is the first step. It's like, you know what, there is a threat. Maybe I should do something about it. And there's a lot of good books out there. If you want to read, you know, I'll just throw one out. The Gift of Fear by Galvin DeBecker is a phenomenal book. Should be a must read, I'd say, for like every lady out there. And even, you know, like my daughter, she's 16. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, I talk to her about it all the time. She hasn't read it yet, but that is definitely, it's a really good book. And it talks about, like, you know, how to predict violence. Like, certain things that happen, it just doesn't happen out of the blue. You know, I mean, there's certain cues, certain things that people do, you know, I mean, prior to you get mugged, prior to you being attacked and stuff like that. And really, so awareness is really the big, big thing. And once you kind of get that going, you're like, yeah, maybe I should train. Because I think Mark Rivetto is one who said this. I don't know if he's the originator of it. But he's talking about, you know, being strong, you know what I mean, getting as strong as possible, because being strong makes you harder to kill, you know what I mean? And then that's true, you know what I mean? That's having good conditioning there will, you know, make you harder to, you know, to be killed. Now, also, you need a skill set, you know what I mean? So, first, no doubt, awareness. You need some conditioning, but you also need a good skill set. You know, and pretty much, in going back to the proper mental conditioning, his bottom line is that you just make up your mind that, you know, you're not going to be a victim, you know, and that you'll do what it takes to protect you, protect your kids, protect, you know, whoever, you know, and that's really the biggest thing. But yeah, and get good training, you know. Yeah, I think every female should be armed, you know. I think, you know, and just throwing this out, I don't know who's listening. But, you know, what I always say to young ladies, you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't be going out on a date unless you're ready, you know, to stick your thumb in the guy's eye, you know what I mean? But that's just me, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's just the reality, you know? You know, not everybody's your friend.
That's why I love Jeff right there. I just love that quote. You're not ready to go on a date unless you're ready to stick your thumb in the guy's eye. That's true. That's some people don't want to talk about or think about, but it's true. You need to learn how to do, and it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be simple skills that people can learn.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people want to be fit anyway. Why not do something functional that makes you literally harder to kill? That's a big, big deal.
Yeah. You know, and that's a great thing about, you know, doing the athletic lifts, because you don't look athletically, you know. I tell, you know, like, especially like females when they come through, and it, you know, like a lot of females, and they have visions of female bodybuilders when they say, oh, you know, I don't want to get big, I don't want to get bulky. It's like, no, you know, you won't, you know. You can lift heavy, you're gonna look athletic, you know. You know, you're gonna have an athletic look to you. To look like a female bodybuilder, you gotta do a lot of other stuff, you know. You know, it's not really good for you. But anyway, you're not gonna get big. You know, it's like for me, you know what? I could care less about having a tight butt or anything like that, you know. I just wanna run faster, jump higher and hit harder, you know what I mean? You know, but the same lift that helps me do that is gonna help the ladies, you know, get the tight, you know what I mean, posterior chain like they're looking for. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Well, and that's something that another thing people don't really see there, I think, is that most people won't get that tight posterior chain or that athletic look at all without those kind of lifts. No matter what everybody else tells you, you can go to aerobics class after aerobics class.
Right.
You can go spend 6 hours at the gym doing 8 exercises for each body part, and you won't get the results. The average person literally will not get them at all without that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've found that actually training for the purpose of getting stronger, getting healthier, and just performing better, then everything else just takes care of itself. You don't need to focus on that. By focusing on it, it's harder to get there.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. It'll all just come into place.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to wrap it up here. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No.
Okay.
Not really, you know. We covered a lot of bases.
Yeah, we covered a lot of great information on a wide variety of subjects. So anyone that wants to get more of Jeff's information, maybe check out his kettlebell juggling DVDs or the shot DVDs, and just anything else, check out his site at tacticalathlete.com. And if you happen to be listening to this live on the web right now, there's a button on the bottom right that you can click that will take you there. Besides that, if you want to get the recording of this as well as the summary, all the main points, you can try out Mind & Bud's Superhuman Training membership site. And right now you can get a month of that for just $1 to start out. So it's a great deal. You'll get the recording of all the past calls and all the ones coming up. So thanks a lot for being on the call, Jeff.
Thanks, Logan. Thanks, Bud.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks again, Jeff, for doing it. And everybody make sure and check out Jeff's new DVD coming out next week.
All righty, man. Appreciate it.
Okay. Well, everyone, have a good night. It was a great call.
All right. You guys take care.